ACC Martin, welcome. Good afternoon.
Hello, William.
To you.
Thank you for having me.
How concerned are you about the current state of the relationship between the police and loyalist and unionist communities?
Well, obviously, the sort of commentary we've seen in the last few days played out in both the mainstream media and political circles and in social media is of concern to us. Police services such as ours thrive on consent and civic consent of the population that it polices. And whenever we receive criticism on the scale that we have had, of course it is concerning to us, yes.
When the First Minister, Arlene Foster, requested a meeting with the Chief Constable around some of those issues, was that helpful for her to do that? Or did that stoke the sense that is out there amongst some people that there is actually two-tier policing going on?
Well, let me say at the outset, there is no two-tier policing. In your introductory remarks, you quite properly highlighted that I am what we refer to as a gold commander, but that means the overall police commander for parades in Northern Ireland. I've held that for about 18 months now, so all of last year's parade season. Bonfires, flags, and indeed the commemorations that we've seen this year.
So one of the easiest jobs in policing here.
A difficult and challenging job.
Absolutely,
but a great professional responsibility at the same time. So the policing of the parades that we've seen the last week, so for example, Coal Island, Ardoyne, Derry on Easter Monday, that's down to me. I made those calls. I'm quite happy to have conversation with you today to outline the context and the circumstances in which I faced and why I made my decisions.
Well, let's talk about that,
policy. I do want to say at the outset...
Go ahead.
That there is no two-tier policing. I apply the same consistent thinking and approach to all parades, whether they come from the Republican part of our community or the Loyalist part of our community.
Did you start out during this season of commemorations around 1916 with a policy decision about how you would police those commemorations, even if there were people wearing masks and uniforms involved in them?
Yeah, well, I have a set an overall strategy for the year, but and that is a reasonably substantial document that goes into some detail about the type of policing that I want for the year. The parades that mark the commemoration, I think we should say that between Good Friday and Easter Tuesday, there were in excess of 140 separate events occurred across Northern Ireland, the vast majority of which were notified to the Parades Commission. The overwhelming majority of those passed off peacefully, lawfully, in the spirit of historical commemoration and were enjoyed by those who took part. There were a few parades that unfortunately caught the public eye. If we talk about Coal Island, that was a very topical one. That actually was a lawfully notified parade. So the organisers went to the Parades Commission, submitted their 11-1, and got approval for that parade in Coal Island. There was a determination issued. The determination, amongst other things, said there should be no paramilitary dress. So I was left with a situation expecting there to be paramilitary dress. How would I deal with that? So the offence there is actually a breach of Parades Commission determination. There is no offence of looking like a paramilitary. There are offences under the Terrorism Act about showing support for proscribed organisations. To get a matter through the court to prove to the criminal standard of proof beyond a reasonable doubt, we would need to be able to demonstrate a clear link between those people and a proscribed organisation. Various stated cases and court experiences have shown us that actually what you need is the name of the proscribed organisation on the uniforms. That was not the case in Coal Island. So
you didn't regard these individuals as terrorists parading on the streets of Coal Island, as some people are alleging in text messages to us today?
Well, what I'm saying is that the offences under the Terrorism Act would be showing support for a proscribed organisation.
And that evidence wasn't there.
And you have to prove that beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a high threshold to meet in the court. And our experience and stated cases have shown that there needs to be a very clear link between that uniform and a proscribed organisation. And
nevertheless,
that would typically be the name of the organisation on it. So what we had,
but
there,
even without that, they were in breach of the parade.
Well, yes,
determinations.
That what we're left
the directions
with,
that they were in breach of that. Why did your officers not move in?
Well, what we're left with there then is a potential breach of a parades commission determination. That is a summary offence, dealt with only in the magistrate's court. The absolute maximum sentence would be 6 months imprisonment, but all experience shows much more likely if you get them into court will be a fine. So it is a more minor offence in terms of the law. I accept it's distasteful. It's offensive to many people. Many people regard it as ugly scenes, but in terms of the actual breach of the criminal law, it is a summary offence. So then I look at context. Mm-hmm. Context is everything in the law. Was it near an interface area? Was it near an area where it wouldn't be appreciated or it would be opposed? Had I lawfully notified protests? And the answer to all those questions was no. It was in a Republican area. They was lawfully notified. And I had the opportunity to record evidence and follow up afterwards. There's plenty of precedent for that. There are many occasions when law and order parades, for example, breach determinations, normally by playing music where they shouldn't play. So, for example, past St Matthew's or past St Patrick's. And I make the decision not to intervene there because I recognise that by intervening, the risk of disorder and the events that could unfold are disproportionate compared to the benefit I would accrue by intervening. But let me say, I do intervene at times. So, for example, the anti-internment parade last August. It was my call to stop that parade on the Old Park Road, Rosapenna Street Junction, because I believed that the context there was such that if I didn't intervene, that the risk of disorder and violence, if it was allowed to progress towards the city centre, was of such a scale that actually the positive thing to do to protect human rights was to stop that unlawful parade. I intervene in loyal order parades, most noticeably in Woodvale Road on the return parade on the 12th of July. So I could sit here and give you many examples where we make the decision, or I make the decision, to intervene because it's the right thing to do. But I could give you many examples where I don't. I record evidence and I follow up afterwards.
All right, now let me take you to the Ormo Road. And we know what the police are saying about the Ormo Road. This wasn't a policy decision. The police had to respond to an incident as it occurred in that situation, and they made a decision. That is now being reviewed by the police ombudsman. We know all that. It's the perception, ACC Martin, it's the perception of it. It's the perception that masked men wearing paramilitary uniforms are allowed to march merrily through one area without any challenge by the police, whilst junior orange men on a parade are sprayed, that's the claim, I'm not saying that happened, but that's the claim, are sprayed with CS gas, as some people have said, but it's CS spray, it's a liquid medium, it's not gas, but that's a differential approach to policing. That is the claim, and that looks to many loyalists like you approach their community differently.
Well, I want to say I don't approach their community differently. I want to hear the views of their community. I engage with many politicians on a regular basis. I have been myself to meet the Loyalist Community Council and to talk about issues relating to the policing of Loyalist working class areas. So I'm in listening mode when it comes to policing Loyalist areas. What we had in the parades in Coal Island and Derry, and I've taken some time to try and explain my thinking around the Coal Island parade, was actually what the police did take positive steps to gather evidence. We had several hundred police officers on duty in and around Coal Island on Sunday. We have lots of footage. We have the helicopter footage. We have handheld footage of our officers on the ground. We'll be trawling through social media footage and YouTube, and we will be carrying out a very thorough follow-up to try and bring matters before the court in relation to suspected breaches of determination. In relation to the Ormo Road, that parade, there was no sense of any police pre-event deciding to intervene in that parade. In fact, we had only two police officers there whose job it was to facilitate the parade down the road at that point in time. We didn't anticipate any difficulty. We didn't want any difficulty. That